Morning, everybody. It's good to be back. A lot of new faces, a lot of different people, a lot of new babies. Lots of things have changed. That's good. Are we awake? We've got 5 p.m. people who are now here at 9 a.m., so they must be really half asleep. But it's good. It's good to be back. Let's pray, and we'll open up this text. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for even the challenging parts. Lord, I pray as we are challenged this morning about how we care for the poor, that you might speak to us and speak through me in doing that. Amen. So, it has been a while. Where's it? There we are. It's been a while since I've been to CABC to preach. I was the pastor here for 6 years or so. I think April 2018 was the last time I was out here at the front. And while I've popped my head in a few times since then, I've never been back to preach, which you may be relieved about, because that has meant you haven't heard any leader jokes in that time. But since I've been gone, it seems a few things have changed in the world. Don't know if you've noticed it, but over the past few years, we've seen crazy weather all around. We've seen a change of government in nearly every country. We've seen a war in the Ukraine that is frankly bewildering. And we saw, maybe you'll remember it, something called COVID. Now, I'm not necessarily making a correlation between me leaving CABC and all of those things happening. But who knew what was coming in those heady days in 2018 when you said goodbye to half the white population of CABC in one weekend? A lot has gone on over the past 4 years. A lot of fear, anxiety, sickness, isolation, loneliness and anger. A lot of plans disappearing, opportunities gone, and heavy debate about a range of issues, from gay marriage through to cancel culture. A lot has changed in the world in 4.5 years, and I swear it wasn't all my fault. One of the things that has happened since I've been gone was the emergence of a new movement that was huge in 2020, although it's dropping off a little bit now. It happened because a police officer in America put his knees on a suspected criminal for too long and ignored his cries that he couldn't breathe, and so a protest movement began with a simple catchphrase, "Black Lives Matter." Now, I know there's a lot of politics in the movement and that protesting during COVID lockdowns wasn't a particularly wise move, but it certainly raised to the surface the continual underlying race tensions, particularly between white people and black people in Western countries. But I want to stop and just for a moment think through that statement. Black lives matter. Why? Why do black lives, or any lives, matter? Why should they matter to me? And why are black people or people of colour the ones crying out this catchphrase? And while the answer is in some regards due to history and racial divide, ultimately, the reason why we are having this debate is because black lives have often been callously disregarded in favour of white lives. And that is due to, I think, one main factor: poverty. By and large, black people are more likely to be in poverty than white folk. Now, of course, there are poor white people and there are rich black ones. But in the main centres of poverty around the world, Africa, India, South America, we see they're all populated by black or brown lives. In the USA, in Australia and other European nations, people of colour make up a higher proportion of poverty statistics than white folk per capita. And if you throw in Asian poverty, you are talking about a massive proportion of people who have less income per day than the price of an Australian coffee. Poor lives matter. That's the slogan that we should be addressing, although racism is a great topic to address as well. But poor lives matter. They should matter to me, regardless of my skin colour or socioeconomic background. And the reason is this: because they matter to God. Now, there's a stack of places in the Bible that I could go to back that up, that statement up. The book of Amos is almost entirely about this issue. In fact, most of the prophets have lengthy sections about God's heart for the poor. Several of the Psalms do. The law in Exodus and Deuteronomy have large sections about the rights of the poor. Jesus often spoke about and ministered to the poor. And we find plenty of statements in Acts and the epistles as well about the poor. It's everywhere in Scripture if you read it. But today I want to just look at what the book of Proverbs says about the poor, mainly because Proverbs doesn't really need a lot of context to understand. So let me turn to one of the simplest and yet most powerful verses of poverty in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 2. The rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Poor lives matter because, like the rich, they are made by God. They are in God's image. And regardless of whether they are born into poverty or through poor decision-making ended up there, they matter because they are human beings. Which begs the question, do we see the poor as real people? Why in the 21st century do we still have movements like Black Lives Matter? And surely we should have learned by now that all lives matter. And yet the poor don't take up a lot of our thoughts until really they shove a placard in our face sometimes. Let me give you just one example. In 2020, for a few days, we were all captivated by the news story of a three-year-old autistic boy who was subject to a three-day manhunt after he went missing from his farm. Do you remember the story? It was an overwhelmingly emotional story over a few days, and in a rarity, it ended happily. The boy was found. There was great cheering and community outpouring of relief. And yet in a country like India, three-year-old children go missing every day. They might be trafficked, might be abducted, they might wander away, they might be euthanized by parents who can't feed them anymore. They might be dropped anonymously at an orphanage like Little Manimangalai, who I know from ICMC. And let me tell you, there's never a three-day manhunt for those kids. There's rarely even a news report. And the reason why is this, because they are born in a poor country, while the little autistic boy was born in the wealthy country of Australia. There should be a manhunt for every missing three-year-old. Because every three-year-old, every four-year-old, every 44-year-old matters. They matter to God because they were created by Him and His Son died for them as well. Proverbs 22 goes on to give a very strong warning to those of us who are rich. It says, "Do not exploit the poor because they are poor. Do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them." Don't exploit the poor and don't crush them in court, which is always hard for the poor because they don't have the finances for legal challenges. And the warning is there. If you do, God will take up their case and plunder you. It echoes another chapter 22, 22 to 23 passage in Exodus 22, where God in his law promises to hear the cry of the exploited widow and orphan. And in the West, we have often been guilty of exploiting the poor, particularly when it comes to purchasing products from third world countries where wage conditions are near slave-like. I know we all love a bargain, but make sure that that bargain isn't at the expense of someone poor. Think through the companies you buy products from. Have a look at their current track record with labour conditions. There are numerous charities and causes that we can support that seek to alleviate the suffering of the poor, whether through the prevention of people smuggling or sex trafficking, slave labour and poor work conditions, through to homeless support even in Australia, such as Hope Street that the Baptist Association runs. But I want today to look at something else that happened between the last time that I was here and today, and that for the past 2 years has really dominated our lives. Yep, COVID. Now, things are getting pretty back to normal for us a bit, aren't they? But we hated COVID, didn't we? I mean, we complained about it bitterly, and I complained as loudly as anyone. We hated what it did to our freedoms. And I wasn't able to go to Ali's dad's funeral up in Brisbane last year due to Queensland's border policies. nor could three of his four children. Horrible time. We hate what it has done to our economy, the debt that has piled up, to families who have been torn apart by this disease, and the strain that it has placed on our fragile healthcare system. Let's take a minute to think through how the poor did in COVID. And poor lives were and still are devastated by this disease. See, the poor struggle to be able to socially isolate, socially distance. Often they live in densely populated places, whether in slums at the extreme end, or simply to multiple generations living in the same house in small huts. They can't isolate in separate rooms when their whole house is one room. No wonder COVID spread so quickly in these communities. And we saw the deadly Delta outbreak, the deadliest outbreaks in the pandemic so far, emerge out of India. Poor also don't have access to vaccines like we do. Are we entitled Australians kicked and screamed that ScoMo didn't get us the vaccine soon enough? But how disgraceful was it that during the so-called devastating Sydney outbreak, we got extra doses of the vaccine from Poland and Singapore when there were outbreaks thousands of times larger in places like India, Myanmar, Indonesia, and pretty much every other developing country. And even when we did get the vaccines, we waited until the one we wanted to put in our arm came along. I have an African guy from Kenya who goes to my church, and he grew up in the slums and his family still live in rural Kenya. And he was telling me that in his native Kenya, the only way to get a vaccine last year was to bribe government officials, which most of the poor people couldn't do. And that was just for one dose. Australia decided that at 80% vaccination rates, we should start to open up, and then at 95%, we were ready to party. But these poor countries will never hit 95%. India, just last week, hit 68.8% double dose. You want to know where Africa, where Black Lives Matter apparently sits in the vaccination rates? In a continent where health facilities for dealing with COVID are way below Australian standards, and where many who catch COVID will die even when they would have survived had they got proper health care that we would get in Australia? Their vaccination rates? 24% double dose. 3 in 4 Africans do not have protection from COVID that we have. And yet they are just as open as we are, because they can't afford to keep their people in perpetual lockdown and prop them up with JobKeeper. Now, the Omicron variant has meant that COVID isn't as deadly as it was before. Praise God for that. But as many of you who have caught Omicron know, it can still wipe you out for a week or two. But if you are poor, you don't get sick leave. And you don't have savings, especially in the last 2 years, where all your savings that you did have been blown because they've had to survive lockdowns where they were out of work and receiving very little government aid. And so many are working on despite being very sick and further spreading the disease. And if they get sicker, then they have hospital bills, if they can even get in. Last year, my friend Pastor Jay, who runs ICMC, caught COVID, and along with his son David. They were charged $4,000 Australian for pretty poor treatment. The hospitals take the money up front because there's a good chance you'll die without paying the bill. That's over 3 years' salary for a poor Indian. Now, there are free government hospitals in India, but they are so crowded you couldn't get in last year, and their standards are so low that many go in, end up catching secondary diseases and are far worse off. Friends, COVID has hit the poor in this country and overseas far more than it has hit the rich. Poverty from the pandemic alone is increasing dramatically, let alone the effects of all the global warming weather conditions that we're facing and the food insecurity in many places. And poor lives matter. They matter to God. And you guys can and are doing something about it. One of the things that has changed at CABC since I've been gone has really warmed my heart. It's that ICMC was added to your missions giving. And that has made a huge impact to the poor in India. The reason that I'm preaching today is not just because Kwok needed a week off because of the baby. Originally, some of the team from ICMC were meant to be speaking and sharing their testimonies here, including two of the girls who are orphans who've now grown up and are working at ICMC. Really amazing, powerful testimonies, and I was hoping to bring them to Australia to share at CABC and other churches and to have a holiday. Unfortunately, Australia has turned around and said that because they are poor, they won't return to India, and so they denied the tourist visas to these girls, although they did give them to Brighton Joy because they'd been here before. But even in a simple thing like a tourist visa, the poor are disadvantaged. So when I found out that Kwok, do you still call him Kwok? Or is it Pastor Kwok now? Because if he's Pastor Nathan, I swear that's so unfair, because I got called leader for 6 years, nothing in front of it. So, not bitter. Anyway, I said to Kwok whether he wanted me to fill in the preaching slot because of the baby, and he said if I asked if I'd speak about ICMC, because some of them know them well and some don't. So aside from being a pastor, I also volunteer as the Australian representative for ICMC, which stands for Indian Christian Mission Centre. Now, in my mid-20s, after my first son Jonathan was born, God laid on my heart the ministry of orphanages in third world countries as places where I could care for the poor, as we've seen commanded in Proverbs and elsewhere in Scripture. My parents-in-law had been visiting ICMC for a few years, and when we said we were interested to know more, we tagged along with them to visit ICMC. And it was a life-changing time for me, so much so that I've gone 13 times since, most recently in February 2020, and I'm hopefully going back in September 2023, September-October school holidays, God willing. And over the years, they asked me to be the Australian representative. Now, ICMC partners with an Australian charity called Global Development Group, who makes sure the funds are spent according to where they're supposed to and offers tax deductibility, but they don't do any marketing, which means that nearly all of your money ends up at ICMC where it's needed. But it relies on people like me to do the marketing voluntarily for them. And over the years, I have taken teams with me to serve and become more aware of poverty, how it's being alleviated, and what God is doing there. And I've taken a number of people from this church across as well. In fact, if you have been to ICMC, can you stand up, please? Here we go. Is that all we got? Where are we? Oh, there's Janice, yeah. That's all. Okay. So there's a few of them. If you haven't, have a look at those guys, because these guys would love to tell you more after church about their experiences at ICMC. You can talk to me as well, but it's always cool to get the perspective of someone that you know if you don't know me. So for those who don't know ICMC, let me show you a short video about what they do.
Prosperity.
So ICMC does even more than what you saw there. Throughout COVID, they ran numerous food drives for the poor who are unable to access food. They still do it as the pandemic continues. They run several colleges as well, where they give free scholarships to the orphans. They also charge outsiders for the studies and use that money to the profits to fund the charity part of what they do to try and become self-sufficient one day. They run schools as well, with the fees paid, helping the charity as well, and the orphans study free. They're building a hospital, and they're nearly ready to open it. And it will provide low-cost or free healthcare for everyone. As I said earlier, India is still struggling with the effects of COVID on the health system, though it's not as bad as 2021. But it's still a place where diarrhea kills more people than cancer. Curable, easily treated diseases kill because healthcare is unaffordable. Well, hopefully ICMC can help in that area as well as orphan care. Also, it looks after 1,000 kids through community programs, where the kids get help with meals and schooling, but they aren't separated from family if the family are safe to live with. This ministry grew exponentially in COVID because the government forced all the orphanages to close during lockdown, meaning that many of the kids had to return to families where their relatives couldn't afford to care for them in the first place. So many ended up working, and sadly, they will never finish their education. COVID basically wiped out 2 years of schooling for Indian kids and set back the education system a generation, as many kids have just missed two vital school years and now struggling to catch up if they didn't leave the system altogether. ICMC's community care programs are always done through a local church, either one that they run or a partner church. And they've often raised up pastors and then sent them to Bible college, and these pastors run community care through their churches, meaning the kids get Bible lessons every day, and often entire families end up coming to church. At ICMC, the 350 kids that currently reside there get prayer and devotion for two half-hour time slots a day, and then all day Sunday. Many become believers and get baptized. Because the best thing about helping the poor through ICMC, as we saw in the video, and through other similar Christian charities like Compassion, is that they are not only given food, shelter, and education and love, but they are given Jesus. The faith that these kids demonstrate blows away anything I see in the West. They love Jesus even through persecution and hardship and poverty. ICMC is under enormous government pressure. Like, you'd think that the government would welcome organizations that take kids off the street and educate them. But the current federal government is fiercely Hindu and has been making it harder and harder for Christians, as well as Muslims and other religious minorities, to continue to worship freely. Blind eyes are turned towards violence in the north against Christians. In the south of India, where ICMC is, they constantly get told to do this or do that, or they'll get shut down. The craziest request happened last year. All throughout 2020, 2 years ago, the local government demanded that ICMC build a huge brick fence around the compound for the so-called safety of the children. Unfortunately, this can also make it feel like a prison. But anyway, they had to comply, and so they began building a wall as funds came in, because they also couldn't get Mexico to pay for their wall. Then one morning, they find a bulldozer from the local government knocking down the wall. The reason? It was crossing a waterway. I'm not sure if you can see any water there, but waterway was based on a map that was 800 years old. There hasn't been water there for centuries. But it gave them an excuse to knock down the wall that they'd just been building. So while South India is not as dangerous as it is in the north, they still cop plenty of persecution from the government and the locals there. I could talk about ICMC all day, but honestly, the best thing you can do is to see it for yourself. So in February next year, I'm going to advertise the next trip and get the names of those who want to come. The cost will be about $3,500 per person. It's all inclusive. It'll be over the school holidays, and they'll be advertising the bulletin with the contact details. But honestly, supporting CABC is a wonderful, and so supporting ICMC is a wonderful initiative from CABC. You guys are running Kids Fun Day again next January, aren't you? Yeah. And when I was here, I was always playing, doing something stupid at Kids Fun Day to try and get playing some stupid role to get the kids excited to hear the gospel that they're about to be taught. And we saw about 60 to 70 kids each year come and hear the gospel for about 5 days. Normally, I think it's 3 days this year. It's a great thing. And I'm glad it's starting up again. And if you can spare the time, talk to the Reverend Pastor Mr. Kwok about volunteering. Now, I don't know what the budget is for Kids Fun Day. I know that some of the kids pay some money towards it. But the $5,000 that CABC gives to ICMC each year is enough to feed 3 meals, provide accommodation, education, and the gospel to not just 60 to 70 kids for 3 days, but 350 kids for 14 days. And while you should celebrate the 70 kids that might come to Kids Fun Day this year, shouldn't we also celebrate and pray and give towards the 350 kids that come to ICMC every day? And the 1,000 more in community care? And the hundreds more that they could take in if they had funds to do so, as giving has gone down over COVID from Western supporters, and the colleges have struggled to make a profit in lockdown? Because poor lives matter, do they not? Poor lives matter. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Let's make sure that we see them the way God does. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that I probably can confidently say that all of us in this room are not poor, that we have grown up in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, or we have come to this country as immigrants and been able to secure visas and secure residency. Thank you for the free healthcare we gain. Thank you for the governments that do their best to look after us. Thank you for the many blessings we have. God, would you challenge us in our wealth to remember the poor, to never exploit them, but to enhance their lives, to help them in whatever way we can. God, we pray for ICMC, for the ministry that they're doing in India, that they've been doing for 30 years now. Lord, help them in the hardships. Help them in the times when the government pressure is so bad they feel like quitting. Give them your strength. Help us, Lord, here at CABC, to continue to support them in our prayers and in finances. Lord, may people come next year and see what you are doing and be challenged and grow in their faith. God, we ask that you would give us eyes to see the poor. Because rich and poor, you are our maker.